We're going to start out today talking about this next chapter, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer by Ernest Holmes. And it's called Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Washwater. And Reverend Maria did an awesome job last time of sharing her feelings about the chapter and reading lots of wonderful quotes from the chapter. And I was inspired by what she said, and I've listened to her talk several times this week, and I'm thrilled to announce that it's up on the website with four other recent talks that are available. And I'm just so excited that sterlingstudygroup.org is back in business. There's a lot of work still to be done, and my friend Niels Jonker and I are going to have another Zoom lesson this week where he teaches me a little more about what I need to know to make everything work right. But we are back, and I just am so grateful for the 20 years that David Gordon devoted to creating that website and all of the benefits that he gave us over time. It's taken me a year to get up to speed enough to bring it back. So he did so much for us, and I give thanks for that. So the point of this chapter for me, now that Maria covered the vast quantity of points Ernest made that were so beautiful and so powerful, it came down to a couple of sentences on the first page of the chapter where Ernest Holmes was speaking to a practitioner class that was graduating, and he said something quite challenging in a sense. He said, "We can teach techniques for practice. That's very simple. But couldn't teach someone how to be a practitioner. That would be impossible. The techniques are of the intellect. The other is of the heart, of the feeling." Oh, the feeling. And for 3 weeks, I've been following the feeling and what I could say about the feeling. And it's continued to evolve. And I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and continued to go through my Holmes books and look for more things to say that were inspiring and uplifting to me that might be to you. And about a half hour ago, I picked up the Science of Mind textbook and I turned to a page in the meditations at the back, and I read this. This is Ernest. "I have discovered a secret place within where the thought goes into a mountain high above the din of the world. I have found in this mountain a place of peace and rest, a place of joy and comfort to the heart. I have found this secret place of God is within my own soul." Science of Mind, page 516. Such a beautiful, beautiful thought. And that's what Ernest was talking about. We have to find the feeling. So skipping forward in the chapter to page 66, Ernest said, "Now the practitioner who will most persistently practice the presence of God will be able to do the most with the technique." Why? Because he's filling a form, filling the form with a feeling like molten lava. Oh, that felt good. And I remembered that Ernest talked about matter being liquid form, which reminded me of Abraham Hicks talking about liquid love. And so I went and looked up the Abraham quote. And they said, when you feel the call of source, it feels compelling. It feels elating. In other words, the call of source in its purest form, when you are close enough to the proximity to really feel it, it feels like joy. It feels like passion. It feels like eagerness. It feels like love. It feels like appreciation. It feels like well-being. It feels like yipping and yahooing all the way down the canyon. It feels like cartwheels and sunshine and rainbows and lollipops. It feels like all the things you've ever associated with well-being. It feels like liquid love. It feels like joy. It is rapturous. It is orgasmic. It ripples through your body. It is ecstasy. That's what source energy is and feels like. So Ernest was talking about moving beyond the techniques into the feeling. But it's worth reviewing what the techniques are. The techniques are prayer and meditation. And finding within ourselves the way we can pray and meditate that brings us into that feeling place of connection to source. And in Living the Science of Mind, another book by Ernest Holmes, on page 43, it says, prayer in its truest sense is an alignment, a unifying process which takes place in the mind as it reaches to its divine self and to that power which is greater than human understanding. In the act of such prayerful and reverent communication with God, one senses the unity of good, the completeness of life, and at times the veil of doubt is lifted. And the face of reality with a capital R appears. This consciousness is an experience rising out of the conviction that God is all there is, beside whom there is none else. Prayer then is communion, and communion pronounces life to be good. And so Ernest, again, in Living the Science of Mind, said a certain time should be taken each day for the enlargement of consciousness. This is done by reminding our imagination that the field of what it deals with is limitless, that mind is the creator, that mind is infinite, ever available, and always responds to us. We must learn to loose our consciousness, L-O-O-S-E. What does that mean? And in Anatomy of Healing Prayer on page 114, beyond the chapter, but I don't let chapters limit me when I give talks. Ernest said, there is a soul touching an intellectual process that stretches the intellect through the imagination and feeling until it lets in more spiritual territory, which now becomes a part of the intellect. Thinking about the feeling, thinking about prayer and meditation and how it brings us to the feeling, I was reminded of an experience Judy Oliver created for us with her friend George Pearson many years ago, where a number of Science of Mind practitioners, including Gail and Judy and me, went to a brainwave workshop that he was offering, and he hooked us all up to EEGs. And he measured our brain waves. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. At the end of that workshop, he said, it's the strangest thing. I've never seen a group of people go into deep delta, but each of the practitioners here did that. And he said, I might have one person who does it in a usual workshop, but never have seen a group like this before. And so over time, for 25 years studying science of mind, the word science is in science of mind for a reason, Ernest believed in utilizing all the evolution of the best ideas and incorporating them again and again into our cosmology. My first minister, Reverend Marianne Trefaro, said, "No one can tell you what's true for you except you." And so we are given permission and encouragement to go out and explore the possibilities. What's out there? How many different kinds of meditation can you find to try? What can you explore and experience that will take you more deeply into the center of yourself, where the love and the peace and the grace resides, to know that divine energy within you? Where can you find it? It's up to you to explore, because your path will be different than anyone else's. And the place this path took me is that about a month ago, several of the friends I have who are often my teachers mentioned this book, Bliss Brain by Dawson Church. And I bought the book and I began to read it, and I was kind of blown away by it. And the more I thought about the feeling that Ernest was talking about, the more I realized that that's what Dawson Church was talking about. This bliss brain feeling is what happens in the body and the mind and the brain waves with our connection to source. Now, Dawson Church doesn't talk about connection to source. He just talks about scientific research, and we did this controlled study and these people did this. But this is what he says. And it reminds me of what Ernest says in the Science of Mind textbook and many other places, that regardless of the tradition a mystic person comes from, they get to the same place. And this is how Dawson put it. Enlightenment has been viewed as a mystical phenomenon belonging to the most esoteric levels of spirituality, unconnected to the domain of science. Then came along technology. Ta-da! And then he describes in a couple of paragraphs that the electroencephalogram was invented in 1920. And by the 1960s, Maxwell Cade and others studied the brainwave patterns of adepts from many different traditions, Buddhist monks, Pentecostal faith healers, Taoist masters, Sufi dervishes, Qigong practitioners, Hindu sadhus, Jewish Kabbalists. Every time they went into an altered state, their brainwave pattern changed, forming a unique and distinctive pattern now called the awakened mind that is completely different from the neural signaling seen in the ordinary states of consciousness. Awakened mind pattern looks the same regardless of the spiritual practice or religious faith. A Catholic nun might be praying to Mother Mary, a Zen practitioner meditating on the empty circle, a Sufi chanting the names of Allah, a Qigong master fathering the Qi, but their EEG readouts all looked similar. Enlightenment is a formula, not the exclusive property of spiritual adepts either. Anna Wise hooked up creators and high achievers in flow states, artists, CEOs, musicians, athletes, and scientists all showed this same awakened mind brainwave pattern. And Cade and Wise began to train ordinary people to acquire awakened mind patterns. Skip forward to a more contemporary time in the last 5 years or so. Dawson Church and many others have been studying this awakened mind pattern. Dr. Joe Dispenza is one we hear about often. And what Dawson was inspired to was create something that he called an eco-meditation. It combines EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is also known as tapping. Some of you may be familiar with that. He studied the HeartMath coherence information. He studied mindfulness meditation and neurofeedback. And he had the inspiration to combine all of them into what he calls the eco-meditation. And in this meditation, you start out with a little EFT. You do something which I never really heard about before. He talks about relaxing your tongue on the floor of your mouth and the impact of relaxing your tongue on the floor of your mouth means that it quiets the vagal nerve, which runs through your whole body and brings a lessening of stress. And it lowers the level of cortisol and adrenaline in your system. Closing your eyes takes your brain into alpha waves. So he incorporates that. He does the HeartMath breathing in and out slowly and deeply into your heart space. He incorporated sending a wave of love out to some place that feels beautiful or someone that feels inspiring to you and allowing your love to flow. And then he brings it back to your own body and invites you to flow love within yourself to something that feels not quite right or could use some additional love, just filling your heart with love. The other thing that he suggests, which I found really interesting and different, is he suggests, as mindfulness does, focusing on your hands and feet and legs and arms and body, but he adds, feel the space within your hand. Feel the space within your foot and your leg and your torso and your neck and your head. Feel the space. And then as he goes on in this meditation, he reminds us often to notice how relaxed the tongue feels on the floor of the mouth, how it feels wonderful to feel a beautiful, blank, empty space between and behind the eyes, to breathe slowly and deeply to a count of six on the out-breath and the in-breath, to feel the love in the heart and send it out. That's incorporating all of these different kinds of meditation, some of which I've done before, and adding some little twists that I really love that take it to another space, another feeling. And then he describes how this creates the awakened mind brainwave pattern. But he also describes the physiology that happens, and he mentioned cortisol. I mentioned cortisol and adrenaline lowering already. But he said, as you spend time in this place of meditation and peace and the stress goes down, then there are many neurochemicals that begin to be produced in the brain dopamine, norepinephrine, beta endorphin, serotonin, oxytocin, nitric oxide, and anandamide, which together come together to provide this incredible experience that he calls bliss brain, that allows you to experience that deep sense of joy and connection and love, and expand that love out into the universe. And he says that that takes you to a space of compassion, and that in the research, the feeling of compassion, of oneness with all life, is what most amplifies the bliss brain experience, the brain waves and the brain chemicals. And in the past, as I've studied other teachers who talk about the development of consciousness, they talk about the fact that as our body tunes into that heart space, and that heart connection begins to be a lifestyle, it changes our brain. And the forebrain, which scientists for many years called the silent brain, begins to develop. And it's never too late in life for the forebrain to develop and create this space for the hormones of bliss and connection to become more and more a part of our experience, to experience that divine flow. Well, Dawson Church doesn't blame it on God. But I do. I think that divine life that is the truth of our being is the essence of who we are. And as we tap into that divine essence, we feel that flow, we feel that love, and the evolution can take place. The evolution of our lives, the evolution of our relationships, the evolution of our work, the evolution of our feeling place, the evolution of our calling in the world, the evolution of our brain, literally, both anatomically and physiology. This awakened brain state changes our brain and has the at least the potential. There is research that says it changes our DNA, and it allows our DNA to evolve. This is really leading edge, exciting stuff, and I don't pretend to understand the details of it. This is a very complex book, and I've read it, and I've read several chapters several times, but I don't understand everything they're talking about scientifically. But I know that what he's doing with this meditation, it inspires me. It takes me to another place. Now, this meditation won't work for everyone. Nothing works for everyone. We each have our own individual path, and we each need to honor our own path. But the various parts of this that he has woven together are beautiful. And you can go to YouTube and search Eco Meditation Dawson Church, and you can hear the meditation itself. What I did was record it on my phone so that instead of having a video, I have an audio file that I can listen to and play for myself while I'm sitting up and meditating, while I'm going to bed and getting ready for a peaceful night. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I want to go back to sleep in a divine place, I might listen to it then. So it's a beautiful thing that he has created. So then I was back to Holmes this morning, and I was dipping into all of these favorite books that I have. And I had spent some time in Living the Science of Mind. And I saw a little note. I don't know if you guys remember, but in my books, I tend to write for myself an index on the front and back inside covers where it's blank that says, on page such and such, there's something good to look at. I had this note to look at page 363 in Living the Science of Mind. And this is what appears on page 363. And I want to end with this because I find it really beautiful. And Holmes's prayer reminds me of the Bliss Brain Eco Meditation that Dawson Church created, because it starts out letting go of the lack of peace, releasing anything that doesn't allow you to get to that deep space of peace. And then it takes you into that awakened mind state and invites you to send love to the world and to feel the tuning in to the presence at the center of everything. It's beautiful. And the two of them feel like they're in parallel to me. So let me end with Holmes's prayer. I lay aside all fear, and in confidence and complete faith, I turn to the one perfect divine presence, knowing that the light of truth shines upon my path, even as divine love guides me into the secret place of the Most High, where I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. I know there is nothing to be afraid of in God's world. Fear cannot operate in me now. It can go forth from me. At the very center of my being, there is complete confidence, complete faith. At the very center of my being, there is a consciousness of the protection of divine love, the guidance of divine wisdom, and the strength of divine power. And so I turn in thought to the whole world, and I know that my word is bringing light and life and a feeling of strength and confidence to everyone. I turn in thought to the leaders of the world everywhere, and I know that love and intelligent guidance is directing their thoughts and actions. I turn in thought to all the nations of the earth and awaken in them the realization that there is good enough to go around. There is a divine government under which they may all be protected from the fear of each other. I turn in thought to a great creative imagination in the human race and assure it that there is a feeling and a presence at the center of everything waiting to make itself known. I turn to God and say, lead me on. So I'm grateful to Ernest. I'm grateful for Dawson Church and all the scientists and all the mystics and all the awakened minds who have showed us the way. And I'm grateful for when I get to feel it and share it with you all. And so it is.